然后，好的，Father, thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your grace and mercy, Lord host. Thank you for your power that is changing things in our lives. Thank you for your name that is highly exalted in our lives and situations.Thank you, Father. Be glorified forever in Jesus' name. We thank you for your dominion that is working in our lives. You have subdued Satan and his agents.Under our feet, you have subdued sin and temptations under our feet. You have given us great strength to conquer battles. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father.Be exalted forever in Jesus' name. We thank you for the ministry of your Holy Spirit that is working in our lives. Thank you for helping us to know you more by your Holy Spirit that is in us.Thank you for teaching us faith. Thank you for teaching us to grow in faith by your Holy Spirit that is in us. Thank you, Father. Thank you for teaching us your nature and your righteousness by your Holy Spirit that is in us.Thank you, Lord. We thank you for the understanding of your word that you have given to us. Thank you for the grace to read and understand the Bible. Thank you, Lord, for the grace to study your word and get.Divine revelations that are inside your scriptures. Thank you, Lord. We thank you for how you have helped us throughout last year, 2023, especially in the area of Bible study classes.Thank you for how you have helped every one of us to be committed, available, and consistent in following the Bible study classes. Thank you, Father. We ask thatYou will help every one of us to be more committed and dedicated to all the Bible study classes we are going to have in this new year. In the name of Jesus. And not only that, we want you to help us topractice everything you will be teaching us through these classes. We do not want to be hearers of your word alone. We want to be doers of your word. Help every one of us to do your word in this new year. In the name of Jesus. I pray that you also add more people to these classes in this new year. Help us to grow in numbers so that the word of God can spread across the world so that many lives all over the world can be blessed and transformed through these things you teach us in this ministry. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for we know you are going to do beyond our request. Blessed be your holy name. In Jesus' unfailing name, we have prayed. Amen. Amen. I welcome every one of you to the Lord's presence. We're going to continue with our teaching series. If you have not forgotten, we started this series in last year. The topic says, or the title of this series, the broad title or the broad topic says, the Christian's relationship to society. The Christian's relationship to society. And we talked on so many things. We talked on point number one, Christians do not belong to this world. Point number two, though in this world we are not part of it. Point number three, our attitude toward worldly values. Point number four, if possible, live peaceably with others in order to win them to God. Yeah, and the last topic in that point number four says, I mean the last topic under point number four says, identify with them by giving your background and credentials. So now we are moving to point number five, which is cautions against compromising with the world. Cautions against compromising with the world. That is point number five. Cautions against compromising with the world. And under this point number five, we're going to also look at some few topics. The topic we are going to be looking at today says, caution against pleasing to the point of compromising. Caution against pleasing people. Yeah, that's the way if you write it down. For those of you that are writing, today's topic is caution against pleasing people to the point of compromising. To the point of compromising with their sin, with their sins, or with their sinful lifestyle. Yeah, so we should caution ourselves. Yeah, we should caution ourselves. So let us look at Galatians. Galatians chapter 5. Sorry, chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1, verse 10. Galatians chapter 1, verse 10. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. Hallelujah. Yeah, our topic again says caution against pleasing people to the point of compromising. Pleasing people to the point of compromising. Yeah. When you are showing love to others, sometimes you have to do things to please them. Yeah, because there is pleasures in love. Yeah, there are pleasures in love. So when we show love, we in the process have to please others. Yeah. Like, for instance, you love someone, maybe someone in your environment or a neighbor, and then you notice that the neighbor likes fried rice, and then you cooked some fried rice in your kitchen, and then you feel like, oh, let me share from this food with my neighbor or with my friend, since I love him or I love her, let me share from this food with this neighbor of mine or with this friend of mine. Yeah, so that is a way of pleasing people because we love them. Yeah, so love goes along with pleasures. It goes along with pleasing people. So we tend to please people that we love. We tend to give them what they are lacking. We tend to assist them where they need help. Yeah, we tend to look out for them. Yeah, so that is pleasing them. Yeah, but today we are considering the fact that while we are pleasing them, we should be careful. Yeah, while we are showing love to whether they are believers or they are unbelievers, we should be careful. Yeah, especially when it is getting to the point of compromise. Yeah, especially when it is getting to the point where those people now want you to do things that is against the will of God, against the word of God. At that point, don't please them. Yeah, at that point, you have to refuse to please them. So in this verse, Apostle Paul was saying, if he is all about pleasing people, that he is not worthy to become a servant of Jesus Christ. Yeah, because even Jesus did not cleanse people. Yeah, if you read all the accounts of the life and ministry of Jesus, if you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you will see that Jesus did not please men. Everything he did was to please God. Yeah, he was pleasing God throughout his lifetime on earth. Yeah, so we cannot please people and still be servants of Christ. It is not possible. We cannot please people and still be children of God. It is not possible. I mean, we cannot please people to the point of compromising and still be children of God. It's not possible. Yeah. So even while you show love to people, you must caution yourself when you notice that it is getting to the point of compromising with evil, with sin, with unrighteousness. Yeah, we must caution ourselves. Yeah. A lot of people have controlling spirit. A lot of people have met many people who have controlling spirit in them. What is a controlling spirit? A controlling spirit is a spirit of darkness in human beings. That makes human beings want, and that makes human beings to want another human being to do what they want, even when that is not what God wants. I don't know if you catch that. Yeah, I don't know if you get it. Yeah. How to know people with controlling spirit? You will know them by seeing them wanting others to do their desires, even when that does not agree with the will of God. In fact, even if it does agree with the will of God, you can't force people. It is wrong to try to force people to do the will of God. Yeah. So, controlling spirits mean you are trying to you want other people to do what you want. And if they don't do what you want, you get offended. That is a controlling spirit. I don't know if you understand now. Yeah. So when you see anyone, maybe it's your parent. Yeah, maybe it's your parent or your siblings or your family member. Or your children. Yeah, when you see anyone wanting you to do what they want, and then they get angry or they get offended when you don't do what they want, then know that that person has controlling spirit. Yeah, controlling spirit is also similar to a witchcraft spirit. It's just that, or maybe I should say, the slight difference between a controlling spirit And a witchcraft spirit is that. The witchcraft spirit wants another person to do something that is contrary to the will of God. But a controlling spirit might even want you to do something that is according to the will of God. Yeah. But the reason, but what makes a controlling spirit evil is in the fact that you want another person to do what you want, and then you get angry if the person doesn't do it. Yeah, that is what makes it evil. If you want someone to do what you want, and you feel like that thing is good for that person, don't stop persuading the person or advising or counseling the person, and then the person still doesn't want to listen to you. What you should do as a Christian is to pray for the person. When you are praying, is to pray for the person and say, "Oh God, I would like this, my fellow believer, or this particular unbeliever to do this or to become like this. Oh Lord, please help him, help her." That is what a Christian should do. Yeah. But if you now took it personal, and then you now get offended because the person you want to, how do I say it in English? You get offended because the person you persuaded to do something or to follow an advice or to follow to follow an idea or to embrace an idea. You saw the person refused, and then you get offended because the person refused to follow your counsel. Then, even if that counsel is a godly counsel, the fact that you got offended means you have a controlling spirit. I don't know if you're getting it. Yeah, the fact that you got offended because the person you advised, even if it's your son or daughter, did not follow the advice, means you have a controlling spirit. Yeah. As a parent, there's a point your children will get to, and you can no longer force them to do anything, especially when your children now know the difference between good and evil. Yeah, but you can discipline them, but you can't force them to do anything. All you can do is to pray for them and continue to preach and counsel them. So, yeah. I'm taking time to explain so that you can know if you that is hearing my voice right now, if you have a controlling spirit, and so that you can cast out that spirit from your life. It is not a good spirit. It's an evil spirit. Yeah. So even God doesn't force his will upon us. Yeah. God doesn't force his will upon us. So we have to choose how to live our lives. God doesn't force us to please him, to serve him. Yeah. So it is wrong for any human to try to force his or her will upon others and get offended if those people refuse to yield to his or her will. So it is very wrong. Yeah. So I noticed that we have a lot of people with controlling spirit everywhere. Yeah, I've met many people that they wanted me to follow their own will and their own desires. Yeah. And then they got offended when I didn't. Yeah, so those kind of people are full of controlling spirit. Yeah. And I said earlier that there's a slight, just a very slight difference between a controlling spirit and a witchcraft spirit. Yeah, just a very slight difference. They are almost the same. Because witchcraft is also all about control. Yeah. The difference is that a witchcraft spirit will not counsel you or will not want to control you to follow a godly advice. A witchcraft spirit is all about controlling others to, or I should say, a witchcraft spirit enforces the will of Satan upon people. Yeah. A witchcraft spirit enforces the will of the devil upon people. Witchcraft spirit wants people to do things that are contrary to the will of God. Yeah, that is what a witchcraft does. Yeah, it enforces things that are contrary to the will of God upon people. Yeah, but a controlling spirit might not really enforce something that is contrary to the will of God. Yeah, but the fact that a controlling spirit gives people no choice, that is what makes it evil. Yeah, the fact that a controlling spirit wants people to do what it wants, whether the people agree or are comfortable with it or not. Yeah, that is what makes it evil. Yeah. Let us move to another scripture. Let us read the book of James, chapter 4, verse 4. James, chapter 4, verse 4. James 4, verse 4. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Yeah. So we should not become friends with the world. We should not copy the lifestyle there is in the world. We should not practice the things that are in the world. Yeah, because the moment we embrace the standard in the world, we will become an enemy of God instantly. Yeah. We will become an enemy of God instantly. And you know that there is God's wrath upon his enemies. There is God's anger upon his enemies. Yeah. So we should not become an enemy of God. We should not. We should become friends of God. Yeah, so we should check our lives. We begin to look critically at our lifestyles to see if there are certain things we do that is in agreement with the darkness that is in the world. So we should check our lives to see if there are certain things we say, certain things we think in our mind that is in agreement with the sinfulness that is in the world. We should check our lives and repent immediately, because every agreement we have with the world, every friendship we have with the world, makes us an enemy of God and makes us vulnerable to be destroyed by God's wrath. Because God's wrath is upon the children of disobedience. Let us look at the book of Romans. Romans chapter 1. God's wrath is upon the children of disobedience. Romans chapter 1. I'm going to read verse 18. Romans chapter 1, verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. What does it mean to hold the truth in unrighteousness? It means you profess to be a Christian. Yeah. And yet you are secretly practicing unrighteousness. Yeah. So which means you know the truth. That's what it means. To hold the truth in unrighteousness means you know the truth. And yet You remain in unrighteousness. You know the truth. You know that what you are doing is wrong, is unrighteous, and yet you continued in doing that unrighteousness, in doing that sin, having known the truth. Yeah, that is what it means to hold the truth in unrighteousness. And the Bible says the wrath of God is upon such people. It's upon all the ungodliness of men. Upon all the unrighteousness of men. Yeah. God is love, and God doesn't want anyone to perish. That is why it looks like he delays in judging people, in executing his judgment upon people. It is because of his nature. He is a loving God. Yeah, that is why he delays in executing his judgments on people. Yeah, but if those people still refuse to repent after being given enough time to repent, the next thing is wrath. The next thing is destruction. Now, the reason why God destroys people that practice unrighteousness, yeah, it's because they have become one with the devil. Yeah, you know, God have only one enemy, and that is the devil and his agents, and then darkness. Yeah, pain is God's enemy. Darkness, then Satan, and then all the works that Satan does, and all the agents, all the people working with Satan, those are God's enemies. Yeah. But we will become God's enemies when we partner with those enemies of God. So when you partner with sin, you become God's enemy. When you partner with sinners, you become God's enemies. And when the wrath of God is manifesting, you will be hit by the anger of God. Yeah, so that is not like God is wicked and he wants to kill people. No, God actually wants to save humans, and that was why Jesus came to die. But because humans refused to be saved, by refusing to repent of their sins, so they became God's enemies, and then they became worthy of God's wrath. Yeah, or maybe I should use the word condemned. They became condemned to receive God's wrath, to partake of God's wrath, to partake of God's anger. Yeah, they became condemned to be destroyed by God's wrath, by God's anger. Yeah, because they refuse to repent. Yeah, so humans are not enemies of God. But we become enemies of God by our choices and by partnering with the devil, by practicing sin. That is how we become God's enemies. And usually God will give human beings some time to repent. It could be many years. It could be 50, 60 years. God usually gives humans a long time to repent. But if they fail to repent, what they will see next is the anger of God. What they will see next is God's judgment. Yeah, so we should be careful. Examine yourselves. Examine your life. And check if you have partnered with sin somewhere in your character, somewhere in your attitude, somewhere in your lifestyle. Check yourself to see if you are now agreeing with the ways of the world, with the unrighteousness in the world, with the darkness in the world. Check yourself very well and be sure that there is nothing of this world in you. Yeah, the reason is because when the wrath of God comes down upon us, those who are friends of the world, those whose lifestyle, whose attitude and nature is in agreement with the evil and sin and darkness in the world, they will not be spared. When the wrath of God comes, they will not be spared. And mind you, the wrath of God is coming. Or maybe it has already come. Yeah, this year is a year of God's wrath. Yeah, a lot of people will experience God's wrath in this year. A lot of men of God will experience God's wrath in this year. A lot of churches and ministries, they will experience God's wrath this year. Yeah, because the Bible says judgment shall begin from the house of God. Yeah, so if you don't take your life very well and repent where necessary, you might also be touched by the wrath of God when it comes upon us. Yeah. When we say wrath of God, don't think it means fire will just start falling from heaven like it were in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. It might not happen like that. There will be lots of judgment this year. Yeah. So we should check ourselves. Yeah. So there are different ways through which the wrath of God comes. Yeah. Or judgment of God. There are different ways through which God's judgment happens. Yeah, let me give you some examples. Some people can have sicknesses that normally get cured, but in their own case, it will never be cured. Yeah, that is God's judgment. Sicknesses that usually have cure, but they will never get cured. I mean, those people who are under God's judgment, they will use all forms of remedies, all forms of medications, herbs, natural remedies, plant remedies, medical interventions. They will do everything that they know how to do, and they will never get cured. That's an example of God's wrath. Yeah, and there's some people, they will just sleep and never wake up. Yeah, that is God's judgment. Yeah, some people, they will keep praying and they will never get an answer from God. That is God's judgment. Yeah, some people, they will keep praying against satanic attacks, witchcraft attacks, and those prayers will never get answered. That is God's judgment. So there are different ways through which God's judgment work. Yeah. And the most common type is God stepping aside and allowing the devil to deal with people. I don't know if I get my point. The most common type of God's judgment that I have known or that I know is God stepping aside and letting devil deal with people. Usually God will step in and defend those people, but now God will just step aside and let devil and sin and sicknesses and sin and demons deal with those people. But most times those people don't survive. How can you even survive? Yeah, when God is no longer defending you, how can you survive? So I pray that you will not get to that point where God will step aside from your life and hand you over to the enemy to destroy. I pray you will never get to that point in your walk with God. So make sure that you please God in this year, not even in this year, throughout the days of your life. Because we don't even know when God's judgment will strike. Yeah, we should live our lives as though today is the last day we have to live on earth. We should live our daily lives as though Jesus is going to appear and call us home. Yeah, if we live our lives that way, I think we will escape God's judgment. I pray that the Lord will give you grace to please Him. In Jesus' name. Let us look at another scripture. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 to 16. 1 John 2, 15 to 16. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. Praise the Lord. For those of you that just joined, we are looking at a topic that says, caution against pleasing people to the point of compromising. Caution against pleasing people to the point of compromising. Let us also look at 2 Kings chapter 5 verse 17 to 18. 2 Kings chapter 5. And Naaman said, Shall there not then, I pray thee, be given to thy servant 2 mules burden of heart? For thy servant will henceforth offer neither burnt offering nor sacrifice unto other gods, but unto the Lord. In this thing the Lord pardon thy servant, that when my master goeth into the house of Rimmon to worship there, and he leaneth on my hand, and I bow myself in the house of Rimmon, when I bow down myself in the house of Rimmon, the Lord pardon thy servant in this thing. Let me read verse 19. And he said unto him, go in peace. So he departed from him a little way. Now, what happened here is that Naaman just had just experienced a miracle. We know the story of how God used Elisha to cure the leprosy of Naaman. Yeah. So, the prophet told him to go and dip himself 7 times in River Jordan and he will be cured. And he followed the instruction and was cured. So now, he told the prophet that he wants to start serving the living God, who is the God of Israel, or which is the God of Israel. Yeah, but he said he might not be able to stop serving another god that is called Rimmon. Yeah. He said he might not be able to stop bowing down to that idol that is called Rimmon, because his master, that is the king, usually go into the temple to bow down to that god. Yeah. So he said he might not be able to disobey his master. Yeah, because he always followed the master into that temple. I think he's a bodyguard, or, you know, usually in those days, the captain of the army, or the leader of the army, is usually the king's bodyguard at the same time. So whenever the king goes to the temple to worship this idol called Rimmon, this man who is the captain of the king's army also have to follow the king. Yeah. So he was saying here that he might not be able to disobey the king, because the king would want him to also bow to Rimmon. Yeah. So he said the Lord should permit. Let me read that place again. Yeah. In verse 18. Yeah, it was the last part of that verse. When I bowed down myself in the house of Rimmon, the Lord pardon thy servant in this thing. Yeah, so that is compromise. Yeah, even though it looks like a petition to God, because here he was telling the prophet that I pray that God will pardon me whenever I follow my master to the temple of Rimmon, because I will have to bow to the God there. Yeah, that is compromise. Yeah, even though it looks like I have no choice, he have choice. I mean, this man, Naaman, had choice. Yeah. So this is a very good example of compromise. Yeah. So there's no way God will pardon him for bowing down to Rimmon. It's not possible. So God expects that he make up his mind and refuse any other God, refuse to bow to any other God. Yeah, that is the will of God for Naaman. But he couldn't do the will of God because of the king. Because he wants to please the king. Yeah. So in the same way, we send some Christians who couldn't do the will of God completely because they feel someone will be offended. That is not Christianity. If you are not willing and you are not ready to offend people while offending them means pleasing God, then you are not a Christian yet. I repeat, if you are not ready and willing to offend people when they are standing against you fulfilling the will of God, then you are not a Christian yet. That there are some Christians who are in ungodly relationships with the opposite sex, and then they know that they are in fornication. They know that what they are doing is fornication, is adultery. Yeah, but then they feel like, I have been with this person for the past 5 years or 3 years, 5 years, 10 years. I can't just break up with this person. Is going to hurt this person. And yet you know deep down in your heart that it is fornication, that it is a sin to sleep with an opposite sex you are not married to sexually engage with an opposite sex that you are not married to. Yeah, you know it is wrong, and yet you feel like, oh, how can I just break this relationship? This person is going to be hurt. Let the person be hurt. It is better to offend people and please God. Or maybe I should say, it is better to offend people than to offend God. Yeah. It is safer to offend people than to offend God. Yeah. But if you please people and then you offend God, or you please people to offend God, you are under the wrath of God. Yeah, you become then you now will find yourself under the anger of God. You will be removed from the mercy of God, from under God's mercy. And you will find yourself under the anger of God when you choose to please men than to please your Creator. Yeah, so we have to fear God. Yeah, so even if it means that you are going to lose your job, even if it means that you're going to starve, which of course God will not allow you to starve, make up your mind to please God. Make up your mind to offend everyone that you must offend in your quest to please God. Because we will always have to offend people if we really want to please God correctly. You will have to offend people, because majority of people in the world are not pleasing God. They are not doing the will of God. I pray that the Lord will help you. In Jesus' name. Let us look at Luke chapter 6, verse 26. Before we round off, Luke 6, verse 26. Woe unto you when all men shall speak well of you. For so did their fathers to the false prophet. Let me read it again. Woe unto you when all men shall speak well of you. For so did their fathers to the false prophet. So when all men speak well of you, Jesus said, woe unto you. It means something is wrong with your relationship with God. If all men begin to speak well of you, then something is wrong with your relationship with God. So which means that our Christianity is naturally, or maybe I should say our Christianity naturally goes along with persecution. Yeah, our Christian faith naturally goes along with persecution. So if you are not being persecuted, then you are not a Christian yet. Yeah. Your Christianity must attract persecution. Yeah. Your friends have to persecute you, your parents. Yeah. There's no way you'll be doing the will of God correctly. I mean, completely. That you won't be persecuted. It's not possible. If everyone seems to like you, and then they seem to speak well of you, then something is wrong with your relationship with God. Yeah, that's the truth. There's no way you will live for Christ indeed that you will not be persecuted. It's not possible. It's not possible. Even if the people around you don't persecute you, when you go out to preach the gospel, they will persecute you. When you go out to evangelize, to tell people the truth, to warn people about God's judgment and to persuade them to repent, people will persecute you. So there's no way we will live this Christian life and be pleasing to all men, and all men will speak well of us. It's not possible. Yeah, because the standard that we are following is directly opposite the standard that is in this world, that the whole world is following. The path that we are following is directly against the path that the world is following. So there is no way we will live for Christ indeed and live the life of Christ indeed, that the world will not persecute us, is not possible. Yeah. It's not possible. Even in your dressing. Yeah. Especially women. Yeah. The moment you as a Christian woman or a Christian sister make up your mind to dress decently, to dress holy, people will start persecuting you. Other women will start calling you names. Yeah, so there's no way you will live the life of Christ here on earth and not be persecuted. Yeah, so let us take our lives. Yeah, so the question is, are all men speaking well of you? Yeah, if all men are speaking well of you, check your life. Then it means maybe you are not so different from them. Yeah, if you are very different from them, if there's a clear difference between the way you live and the way the people in the world live, they will not always speak well of you. Yeah, because sooner or later, your life will become a threat. Your lifestyle will become a threat to their own lifestyle. Yeah, then they start, they will begin to consider you as a threat to them. Because you have chosen to follow a different path. Yeah. So, what the Lord is saying to you tonight is that different. Yeah. Be different. In your dressing, be different from those that are in the world. You know those dressings that you shouldn't put on. Yeah, most women, they know. They know when they are dressing, their dresses or their dressing is seductive. There's no woman that doesn't know that what he or she puts on is seductive. The moment they put on that clothes, they can feel it themselves that the way I've dressed right now is seductive. There's no woman on earth that don't get that feeling. Yeah, there's no woman on earth that don't get the feeling that the way they have appeared, that the way they appear is seductive. Yeah. So, in fact, you don't even need anyone to tell you don't wear this, wear that. You yourself, you know what you should not wear in the public. You know, except you want to deceive yourself. You know. Yeah. You know. You know what you shouldn't say from your mouth. You know what you shouldn't think with your mind. You know these things. So let us stand out from among them. Let us be different. Even as we show love to the people around us, to our friends, relatives, neighbors, we must be different from them. We must not compromise with their pain. I pray that the Lord will give you grace. In Jesus' name. So I'm going to stop here. If you have questions, you can ask on our Telegram group. Let us pray. Father, we are grateful for helping us to be consistent with these Bible study classes. We know when we started, and here we are still having this program. Even in this new year. Thank you, Father. Thank you for all that you have told us today. Thank you for showing us from your scriptures that there is wrath, there is judgment for those who hold the truth in unrighteousness. For those who compromise with this world, I ask that you help everyone here to repent where necessary and live an acceptable life in your sight. In Jesus' name, I pray for you that the truth you have heard today will not testify against you in the day of judgment. I pray that you will be obedient Christian. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for we know you have answered. Blessed be your holy name. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. Let us endeavor to invite other people to join these Bible study classes. Invite your friends, even the person you think might not be interested, might actually be interested. Yeah, you just need to tell the person first. So you might be surprised that the person you think might not be interested in joining these classes will actually be very much interested. Yeah, so tell other people to be joining and show them how to join. Yeah, I want the truth that we teach and preach in this ministry to reach many people across the world in this new year. And not that I want it, even God wants that. May the Lord bless you as you obey.